The Buffalo Bills made a few roster moves. I want to talk about the run game, give you my predictions for Sunday against the Ravens, and my prospects to watch on Saturday. It's all coming your way today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. This episode is brought to you by Brightco Jewelry and Watch Insurance. Brightco brings you comprehensive, fast, and affordable jewelry insurance for as low as $5 per month. Check out your special offer for Locked On listeners and get covered in under 2 minutes at bright.co/lockedon. That's bright.co/lockedon. Well, folks, we got a lot to get into here today. The Bills have made several roster transactions. Want to offer some thoughts on the Bills' run game. Want to give you my predictions, my 5-game predictions for Sunday against the Ravens. I want to give you my NFL draft prospects to watch on Saturday. The one thing that we're not going to do today that we typically do is our conversation with Kyle Trimble of Banged Up Bills about the injury situation. Kyle and I are going to record on Friday, and I'll get that to you as a standalone episode. It'll be 10, 15 minutes, something like that. That'll be both available on YouTube and in your typical podcast feed. So that's coming for you probably later in the day on Friday. So that won't be part of our show, but we will still get to that this week as a standalone episode. Let's do start by reflecting on some of the newsy items that have come through this week for the Buffalo Bills that we haven't got a chance to talk about. And we will start with Tommy Doyle, Bills' second-year offensive lineman. He's on injured reserve. His season is over. He tore his ACL, I guess, against the Dolphins, and that's it for him this year. And it's unfortunate. Second-year player, a lot of tools and physical skills to develop into, and he'll miss a lot of time, and that's going to set him back. That's not great. I love that he was getting a chance to play guard and tackle. You've heard me talk about him potentially being in place to compete for that left guard job next year, and obviously this doesn't help him accomplish that because it's a 9 to 12 month recovery, as we know, and that's going to put him behind for, you know, really the foreseeable future here and eat into his offseason quite a bit. So this does kind of leave the Bills with a new look reserve backup offensive line that includes Greg Van Roten, Bobby Hart, David Questenberry, and Justin Murray. They signed Justin Murray, who's a veteran offensive lineman. Let's talk about him real quick. 6'5", 315 pounds, 29 years old. He's been in the league since 2018, and he's played in 32 games with 20 starts. And almost all of that experience came over the last 3 years, 2019 through 2021, with the Arizona Cardinals. And he's gotten a chance to play left guard, right guard, and right tackle. He's played 124 snaps at left guard, 548 at right guard, and 903 at right tackle. So you love a guy that can play both guard spots and tackle. And that helps you make up for what you lost in Tommy Doyle with a more experienced player. A very serviceable backup, and to get a player like him that is 29, has the game experience, has played multiple spots, that's about all you can hope for at this point in the season from a street free agent. And so I've talked to a couple people that I know that cover the Cardinals, and everybody said, look, he's a very serviceable backup, and that's what the Bills needed. They needed a serviceable backup. They got that in Justin Murray. Also, somewhat of a leftover item, but we haven't really had a chance to talk about Micah Hyde and his neck injury and how he's out for the season. And that's a tough one. You know, Micah is one of the best players on this team. There's no question. What he brings as a safety that can line up and do a whole lot of things, his range, his ball skills, his leadership, you can't try to make light of this. This is a big loss for the Bills. And you know, I don't know that the Bills lost against Miami because they didn't have Micah Hyde, but maybe things could be a little different there. You know, obviously we've enjoyed Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde for so long since 2017 as being this elite dynamic pair of safeties. And, you know, Mike is gone for the year and he's under contract next year and hopefully he comes back full strength and has a great season. But Jordan Poyer is not under contract next year at this point in time. So you start to wonder, is this it? Have you seen the last game of Poyer and Hyde together for the Bills? There's a chance of that. This does create an opportunity for Jaquan Johnson to play. And Jaquan's in his fourth year, draft pick. You kind of always felt good about Jaquan when he played. Obviously, the spot start last year against Houston, he's looked good in preseason. But you never really got a chance to see him for an extended period of time, which we now will as the starter next to Jordan Poyer. And so he's also in a contract year. So this kind of comes at a good time for Jaquan to showcase what he is. And you can evaluate him and get a good understanding of, you know, can he potentially be a starter for you down the road? And so obviously the Bills need him to deliver this year. And if he does, he'll be in line for a contract extension with the Bills. So, somebody goes down, that's an opportunity for somebody to step up. And, you know, in this case, Jaquan Johnson, who's had multiple years in the system, this is his chance to play. And I'll say this about Jaquan Johnson. I obviously studied him in depth at Miami when he was in college, and his tape was first round. I mean, he's a first round player in terms of what he showed on tape with tackling and ball skills and the type of player and impact that he made at Miami. The problem with him is just that he's small and slow, right? He doesn't have the first round measurables to go with the first round performance. And so that's somewhat mitigated at safety, especially in this type of a defense that Sean McDermott runs. And so I'm pretty optimistic about what he can do as this replacement player. But with Jaquan, it's always been just size and athleticism. It's not there for him, but he's always been a good football player. And I'm excited to see what he can do over the course of the season and really get a good feel for what he is as an NFL player. The Bills also signed Xavier Rhodes to the practice squad. He's a household name in the NFL. Long career to this point. First round pick in 2013 by the Minnesota Vikings. 6'1", 218 pounds. 32 years old. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. There's probably points throughout his career where he was in the conversation to be the league's best cornerback. I mean, he's had a great career. Obviously, towards the back end of that now. And he signed to the practice squad. And this is a guy with a ton of experience, 126 games started. He's literally been a starter every single year since 2013 when he was drafted. And that includes last year. Now, last year, he went to the Colts. He spent the last 2 years in the Colts after a long run with Minnesota. And he was really good for the Colts in 2020 and then kind of took a step back in 2021 where Indianapolis started to run a lot more man concepts, which doesn't really fit with Xavier Rhodes, especially at this point in his career. And he also had some injuries. And so he's healthy, stepping into a defense that fits what he does. Leslie Frazier and him have some experience dating back to 2013 when they were both in Minnesota. And so I think this is, like I kind of said with Justin Murray, this is probably more than what you can hope for at this point in the season in terms of a street free agent, a guy with this experience to come in and provide depth for your football team, especially with Christian Benford having the hand injury. And I'll talk to Dr. Kyle Trimble tomorrow about that to get more of an understanding about what the long-term implications are there. But I think you have to be happy that Xavier Rhodes is part of this mix now. He tackles, he plays the run, he's got good size, tons of experience. It's a good addition at this point. Prince Amili, he was released from the active roster and re-signed to the practice squad. Brandon Bryant is on this Bills roster. So as you're thinking about the defensive tackle situation for Sunday, who knows what Ed Oliver can bring. It doesn't sound like there's really any chance for Jordan Phillips. You got to count Brandon Bryant into that factor because he's on the active roster right now. So it's going to be him, Daquan Jones, Tim Settle as your primary three defensive tackles. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Ed Oliver. The other note here is Bobby Hart is back from suspension, which, look, you say what you want about Bobby Hart. He's an important depth player for this football team. And he can play multiple spots. And the Bills probably could have used him on Sunday against Miami with injuries to Bates, Spencer Brown, you know, Roger Saffold, and Deion Dawkins having to play every snap, 90-something snaps. Mitch Morse is not available. You could have used Bobby Hart. So that suspension was proved to be kind of costly for Buffalo. Real quick, I want to offer some thoughts here on the run game as this becomes a narrative, right? It's a real thing. The Bills aren't running the ball well right now. So you start to ask yourself, well, why is this happening? And so I want to share some of my thoughts about what I believe some of the contributing factors are right now. Because we know that Josh Allen can't account for 83% of this Bills offense for the entire season, right? We talked a lot of this offseason about players that can take something off of Josh Allen. You want Josh to be Josh, but he needs help, right? He's a human being. And so as I consider some of the pitfalls of the Bills' rushing offense right now, I put a lot of it on blocking. I don't think the Bills are run blocking well. And I think there's some contributing factors. They shifted from last year when they ran the ball most effectively, which was a gap style system. They shifted more now to a more balanced attack that includes a lot of zone concepts and less gap concepts. And I'd like to see some of that come back because when you run zone, I think it requires a lot more in terms of communication with your group up front. And as we remember throughout training camp and preseason, the Bills really didn't have their offensive line. I mean, Spencer Brown really kind of got going late. Roger Saffold got a late start. Deion Dawkins missed a little bit of time. Ryan Bates missed a little bit of time. And so you're mix matching all these guys, and they just didn't have that time together. And so I think that shift in scheme with a shift in personnel that hadn't played together, that's not helping the Bills run block to their maximum capacity right now. I also want to recognize this is still a small sample size. It's three games, right? I mean, you want it to come along, and it just hasn't to this point. The silver lining to me is that it would appear that the Bills have the right stuff to run the ball effectively. You'd like to think that between three day two running backs, you have the running back talent, and especially a guy like Devin Singletary, who we've seen have success in the league, and the talent that is James Cook. It would appear that you have the right blocking talent, two Pro Bowlers on the left side and Deion Dawkins and Roger Saffold from last year, Mitch Morse, a high-quality center, and then some athleticism on the right side with Bates and Brown. You feel like you should have enough blocking talent to get that done, especially with a tight end that you're paying and a fullback that you're paying. It would appear that you have the coaching talent to get this done. Aaron Cromer's been around top-tier rushing offenses his entire career. You look at Mike Shula and his impact. There's coaching acumen. There's running back talent. There's blocking talent. There's coaching talent. They got the stuff. One place that my mind does go when I think about this Bills rushing offense, I wonder how much Josh Allen as a player, just because of what he offers in terms of arm talent, movement skills, dual threat ability, and just the necessity for defenses to play zone coverage against Buffalo. And when you play zone coverage, that means eyes in the backfield. I wonder how much that makes it more difficult for Buffalo to run the football. Because that linebackers and the defensive backs, they're cueing and triggering run quicker because they're always playing zone and there's always eyes in the backfield. I have to believe that in some way that's a contributing factor and a natural variable that the Bills are going to have to overcome. You see what I'm saying? If you're playing a lot of man coverage, those defensive backs and linebackers, they have an assignment in man coverage that they have to mirror and match a player. That takes less eyes out of the backfield, and they have to be more reactive to come back and play the run. Where if it's zone, eyes are in the backfield, you can trigger quicker. So I think that does place some stress and puts the Bills at somewhat of a disadvantage in running the football because you do the math here and it doesn't make sense. You're throwing the football extremely effectively, and you're spacing the field, and that should lead to light boxes. And the Bills don't run the ball well against light boxes when you have what appears to be a good mix of line players, a good mix of running backs, and coaching acumen. Well, what is it? Communication, sample size, scheme, shifting, right? And maybe there's just something we have to acknowledge in that Josh Allen as a quarterback and the skill set that he presents leads to more eyes in the backfield and makes it harder to run the football. I think that's something we should start to consider, because all the stuff is there for this Bills rushing offense to be effective, and it just continues to not be. Well, folks, you've all seen those videos, people proposing, right? Guys proposing down on the knees at the beach. He's on a pier, and that ring falls off the box down into the ocean. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want that video splattered all over the internet. The guys over at Brightco Jewelry Insurance will make sure, if that happens to you, that you will get a full replacement for the value of that ring, no matter if it's lost, stolen, or you just can't figure out what happened to it. Go to bright.co/lockedon. It's the fastest, easiest, and cheapest way to cover yourself with the best jewelry insurance in the business. These guys over at Brightco are geniuses. They made buying insurance for your engagement ring, your watch, or whatever so easy that you can get covered in minutes on your cell phone. You won't find a better deal on great coverage that's super affordable. Bright.co/lockedon. We all hate insurance, but these guys over at Brightco have turned the whole experience around, so it's probably the fastest and easiest thing you can do for yourself this week. There's no excuses. For $5 a month, you can get totally comprehensive coverage, and it won't take you more than 2 minutes on your cell phone. Check it out. Bright.co/lockedon. Let's give you my predictions for Sunday, and then after that, I'll do my NFL draft prospects to watch if you're interested in that and you want to start to watch college football with an eye towards the NFL draft and lasering in on players that I think could be potential Bills targets. That's coming up for you in just a moment. But first, my 5-game predictions for Sunday, Bills Ravens in Baltimore. Number one, the Ravens finish the game below their season averages for yards and points on offense. So far, they are averaging 33 points per game, and they're averaging 363 yards per game. I think they come under both of those numbers. I don't think that, you know, even if the Bills' defense is shorthanded, which it will be probably in some spots, at least defensive tackle, with Jordan Phillips probably being out, with Ed Oliver probably being out, without Micah Hyde, right, obviously. You know, no Christian Benford, I'm sure. Maybe get Dane Jackson back. I think the Bills are going to be fine on defense. I think they're going to have a good plan to not allow Baltimore to just unload a bunch of points on you. Could they challenge for 300 yards? Yeah. Can they challenge for somewhere in the mid-20s for points? Yeah. But I don't think they get to 33 and 363. Number two, Josh Allen has more total yards and touchdowns than Lamar Jackson. And this is fun because I think right now, and it's a very early season situation, right? You're not deep into the season. And honestly, who friggin' cares who the MVP favorite is after week three? Nobody should care. We should have watched enough football over the last 3 years to realize that it doesn't matter. Your screenshots of who's winning or leading what division or who's in the playoffs today after week three, nobody should care at all. Matters what you're doing late in the year. But anyways, not to get back on focus here, my prediction is that Josh Allen will have more total yards and more total touchdowns than Lamar Jackson. The reason I think this is interesting is because if you were to say, who are the leading MVP candidates right now in the NFL, I think there's three names and three names only: Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Jalen Hurts with the Philadelphia Eagles. There's nobody else in the conversation like those three. And so with these two quarterbacks going head-to-head, give me Josh with more total yards and more total touchdowns on Sunday. Number three, I'm predicting 55 or more yards from scrimmage from James Cook. He had 53. I think his career high right now is 53, so I wanted to get a little bit higher and predict a new career high for James Cook. I think this is a great game for him to get involved. Talked about this on the primer a little bit, where I think they're shaky on the second level, and I think they've got some defensive backs that don't want to tackle anybody. And I think James Cook is your guy to challenge that most effectively. And so I think in the run game, you kind of want to attack the edges here a little bit. And I think there's some opportunities to throw the football to James Cook. And so I think he's going to have some production on Sunday, and he should. I think James Cook should be a big part of this plan. 55 or more yards from James Cook on Sunday. Number four, I'm predicting a Bills offensive player to score their first touchdown of the season. And I will condense that down to Dawson Knox, Jamison Crowder, Zach Moss, James Cook. I think one of the four of those players gets an opportunity to score a touchdown or does score a touchdown on Sunday. You know, I think the Ravens have a really good player in Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, but I think there's question marks elsewhere. And I think the Bills have some opportunities to win some matchups. And I think you kind of laser in on your ancillary components of your offense and get some of these guys involved. And I can see one of these players getting a touchdown. Now, Dawson Knox shouldn't be that rare for him to catch a touchdown, but it hasn't happened yet so far this year. And Dawson, obviously, now a handsomely paid player. We have expectations for production there. I know he's had some different injuries so far to start the year, but I think between him, Crowder, Moss, Cook, one of them finds pay dirt for the first time this year on Sunday. And then lastly, the result. Do I think the Bills win and get to 3-1, or do they lose and get to 2-2? I got myself down for a Bills dub this week. I have a quiet confidence about the Bills this week, and I don't say that often. I'd like where this team is, and I know that there's some variables there, but I'd like where this team is at going into this football game. Yeah, they had a tough loss to Miami last week. That's hard to reconcile. And we've been through this. 31 first downs of their 15, 497 total yards to their 212. You possess the ball for 41 minutes. You run 90 plays to their 39. That's a loss that you get pissed off about if you're a player and a coach. You can't wait to get back on the field and get that out of your mouth. Since 2019, the Bills are 11-4 after a loss. And I go back to 2019 because I think that's when this Bills team kind of became the Bills team that we know them today. Since 2019, 11-4 after a loss with an average margin of victory of 11 points. You're going to see an inspired, hungry football team on Sunday. And it goes back to this Ravens defense. I think this goes back to both defenses. And I've already been through this. I think the Bills defensively, in terms of how they're structured to play football, matches up fairly well with Baltimore. I can't say the same the other way around. Baltimore is a defense that wants to run a lot of man coverage, a lot of gap control, and a lot of blitzing. It's not a good recipe for Buffalo. They've given up 458 yards per game and 26 points per game so far this year to Joe Flacco and the Jets, Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, and Mac Jones and the Patriots. Like I've said a few times, Josh Allen's coming to town. That's a different challenge than those other players. If those guys can produce like they have against this defense, what's Josh Allen going to do? I like Buffalo in this game. I really do. I think they have a really nice opportunity on Sunday to get back on track, to get to 3-1, and put that Dolphins loss firmly in the rearview mirror. All right, let's do our prospects to watch on Saturday. So this is a good weekend in college football. We got some good games here, and so I'm going to kind of walk you through the three best games, what you should be watching, and obviously my player for the Bills. 12 o'clock Eastern time, put it on ESPN. Number 7, Kentucky against number 14, Ole Miss. Big game. Now, the player that I don't necessarily want you to watch from a Bills angle, but do check out Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. I think he's a really interesting player. There's a lot of Josh Allen to him. He's built like an action figure, big dude, big arm, and he runs a little bit like Josh Allen too. You know, he doesn't always color inside the lines, but I like what he's got. If I was picking a quarterback this year early, I'd want Will Levis. So check him out. He's fun. But the player from a Bills perspective to watch is Kentucky right guard, number 79, Tashaun Manning. 6'4", 330 pounds. Just came to Kentucky this year. He was at Auburn. He was a starter for Auburn in 2020 and 2021. And he originally started his career at Auburn as a defensive tackle, and then he moved over to the offensive line, I think, in 2019. He's a guy that's faced adversity. He battled leukemia in high school. He was declared cancer-free in 2016. He's a strong pass blocker, good functional athlete for his size. Again, 330-pound guard here, and he's got plenty of power. He's still developing his technique as a guy that hasn't played offensive line his entire life, but I like his trajectory, and I like him as a potential third or fourth round target that gives you starter upside. So after you watch Kentucky and Ole Miss, flip it on over to CBS, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, number 2 Alabama against number 20 Arkansas. And this was a good game last year. This was like a 42-35 game. Arkansas gave them all they can handle. And I think they can play a competitive game this time around as well. But the players to watch for the Bills, the safety duo of Alabama, they got a couple of really nice players there in Brian Branch and Jordan Battle. Jordan Battle, 6'1", 206 pounds. He wears number 6. He's a hammer. This is a guy who triggers and tackles. Very, very, very smart in coverage. And Alabama does a lot of unique things with how they space the field. And Jordan Battle has been a multi-year starter and high-level performer in coverage. Interchangeable type player that I think you can play split zones, play him closer to the box, and he can give you a lot of appeal as a run defender and a guy in coverage that is very interchangeable. I think he's a target in that late first round into the second round type range. So kind of where I think the Bills could be obviously slotted to pick. Also, Brian Branch, he's 6', 193 pounds, wears number 14. Everything that I said about Jordan Battle, you can apply to Brian Branch. I mean, he's got a good trigger. He's a good tackler, smart in coverage. I think he's got some more athleticism than Jordan Battle. So if you want to play more man coverage, play him in the slot. Allow him to use his range as well. I think you get a little bit more of that in Brian Branch, but good players in terms of how they complement each other, excuse me. And I think they're both kind of in that late first into the second round type range. So again, a really solid player for a potential need at safety for the Bills and also where I think the Bills will be picking. Lastly, 7 o'clock, number 10, NC State going up against number 5, Clemson. Two top 10 teams here. Big matchup. NC State hasn't won the ACC since 1979. Clemson obviously kind of looking to reestablish themselves after a down year last year, and NC State would love to knock them off. The player to watch here is Clemson left tackle number 71, Jordan McFadden. I think he's a guard in the NFL, 6'3", 310 pounds. He's been a starter for Clemson since 2019 at left and right tackle. Like I said, I think he kicks inside the guard at the next level. Love the movement skills, love the power, love the control. Very experienced. He looks like a guy that's played a lot of football and can step in and do the same in the NFL. I think he's a day 2 pick with NFL starter traits and someone to keep an eye on in that NC State versus Clemson game. And then, of course, we talked about the Clemson defensive line, but watch them again. They got dudes up and down that D-line and KJ Henry and Brian Brzee. And Tyler Davis and Rook or Ron Hoho. He's a difficult name to say. I don't know if I got it right. So they got some guys over there on defense to watch as well. But, the Bills potentially have a need here on this offensive line. And Jordan McFadden's a guy that I think is a reasonable target to consider. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I will be back again for you one more time. Again, sometime later on Friday. You'll get me and Dr. Kyle Trimble talking about these injuries, and there's a lot to get into with Christian Benford and Gabriel Davis with an ankle, and he didn't practice on Thursday. Where's Ed Oliver at? What's the outlook on Jordan Phillips? Jake Kumerow, right? There's so much to get into. Of course, Jordan Poyer, so many names, and so we're going to do a 10-15-minute conversation for you guys to get a full in-depth chat on these injuries. So come on back to listen to that one here. Later on Friday. All right, folks, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again very shortly.